Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, we come to you today on your Holy Shabbat, keeping your commandments. Wash us in your blood of any sin. Thank you for another Sabbath. Thank you, Lord and God. You're the living God, and we praise you in whatever condition we're in. And I give you that. I hope you'll bless the study, teach everyone something new, something they didn't know. Give us the fuel, the arsenal we need to answer people's questions. Heavenly Father, bless everyone here. Heal them, strengthen them. Be with us in a special way. I pray you'll destroy Satan away from us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for another Shabbat. Amen.
Amen. Now. All right, well, Shabbat Shalom. We'll just do a Malachi study here, and praise the Lord. Of course, we are one of the Messiah congregation located in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're part of the congregation of Israel, of the Israel of God. And Shabbat Shalom, and all welcome. And we already said the prayer, so we'll just continue. And of course, our ministry, it's a teaching ministry, to bring up topics in the Bible that have never been discussed or mentioned in your life. They've been deleted from your knowledge, and you have no clue they're missing, and we're going to try to undelete them from you. Get rid of all our old church doctrines that we learned in the past and learn about the God of Israel. And of course, when our website is up, it's not up currently, it should be up by next week.
Did Jim and Louise make it back?
Yeah, they said they were back.
Oh, okay.
You can read them on the site and hear them and watch them. They'll all be back on the site, hopefully by the end of this coming week, Lord willing. And of course, Malachi, I would love to come and talk to your congregation if you have anybody who really wants to know about the Hebrew Jewish roots of your faith. Not Judaism and not Christianity, but the real God of Israel. We're always willing to travel or do whatever we have to do to send out the message of God's Word. Of course, today we use the Gregorian calendar from Pope Gregory, as everyone knows, from the 1500s. According to them, today is December 8th, 2012. December used to be, in the old days, the 10th month, like Deca, means 10. But of course, now it's the 12th month. It doesn't make any sense, but that's just the way it is. December had 30 days until Numa, when it had 29 days. Until Julius, when it became 31 days. So anybody, but you know what the truth is? Even though the months and the years had different days, the weeks were always 7-day weeks, and that's an amazing thing. Now, God's truth. As we all know, Jehovah has his own calendar. And we're now in the 9th month, called Kislev, and the 23rd day, praise the Lord. And that's Kislev right there. Zechariah 7:1. And it came to pass, in the 4th year of King Darius, that the word of Jehovah came unto Zechariah in the 4th day of the 9th month, even in Kislev, which is part of December and January 2013. Praise the Lord. That's the real God's calendar. And remember, it's the season, 'tis the season to be pagan. Beware. So beware of, you know, we all see this all around us in this time of year. False images of love, false feelings and emotions, all this joy of the holidays. But in the background, is there anything spin on loneliness, depression, suicide, and oh yes, debt, as we all know. So there's all this facade of joy, false joy, but it's really not there. They try to make themselves joys, but it's really not there. Okay. I'm having a little trouble with my mouse here. Hold on. Okay, I said last week it's time to focus on. Hold on a second. I'm having a little trouble here. Because I've got it on my. Shouldn't be doing this off the. Okay, so last week it's time I'm focusing on two fictitious holidays that almost everyone participates in one way or another. It comes in December, and that's Christmas and Hanukkah. Remember, John said, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And guess what? No lie is of the truth. And I think we all know that. No lie is of the truth. And in Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And of course, he gets that all from Torah. He knows that none of those people are going to have eternal life. It's impossible. And of course, just for the record, Kwanzaa, this Ron Karinga, a.k.a. Dr. Maluno Ron Karinga, invented this seven-day feast, December 26th to January 1st. He did this in 1966, grinding a black alternative to Christmas, like we need a black alternative to Christmas. The idea was to celebrate the end of what he considered the Christmas season exploitation of African Americans, which is another just ridiculous thought. Everything's always about their exploitation. It's always about racism. Do you know there is no race in God because we're all of one blood? So Christmas, once a time, of course it was banned in 1659 in America. And then there is Hanukkah. So today's topic, we're going to talk about Hanukkah. Is it the feast of dedication? Hanukkah now? Absolutely no. Now, Scripture does say, and everybody points to this, John 10:22. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. And Yeshua walked in the temple and Solomon's porch. Now, first of all, what do we have there? We know it's the Feast of Dedication. We know of that temple. And Yeshua walked in that temple. It still existed at that time. It doesn't exist today. Now, we're talking about what dedication. Now, let's explore Hanukkah. Now, the first book of Maccabees is a book written in Hebrew by a Jewish author, they say, after the restoration of an independent Jewish kingdom about the latter part of the 2nd century BC, so they say. In modern-day Judaism, the book is often of great historical interest, but there's no official religious status of this book. It was largely kept by the Catholic Church. Now, the second Maccabees, here's another thing why we don't believe in the first Maccabees. And also the second Maccabees. I mean, there's big problems in the book of Maccabees. And the big problems are Catholic thought. The second Maccabees focused on the Jews' revolt against Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, and concludes with the defeat of the Syrian general Nicanor in 161 BC by Judah Maccabee, the hero of the work. These books are not included in the Hebrew Bible, of course, but they are part of the Apocrypha, a group of Jewish writings from this period that was preserved by none other than the Catholic Church. Now, Judah Maccabee made his own feast up. Does this sound familiar? 1 Maccabees 4:56, and so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days and offered burnt offerings with gladness and sacrificed the sacrifice of deliverance and praise. Now, you know, we'll probably talk about this. I think it's in here, but here's the big problem we have, too, just what they said, the dedication. The altar was already dedicated. You do not rededicate an altar. He's going to talk about this. It can be cleansed, but it's only dedicated when it's built. Verse 59, more of Judas and his brethren with the whole congregation of Israel ordained that the days of the dedication of the altar should be kept in their season from year to year by the space of 8 days from the 25th day of the month Kislev with myrrh and gladness. Sounds kind of like Christmas, doesn't it?
The 25th day.
Yep. Here's what the scriptures report. In 2 Chronicles 29:1, Hezekiah cleansed the house of Jehovah. He did not declare it to be held year to year as a feast. This house was already dedicated to God. However, because of sacrifice to other gods, the priest cleansed it 8 days. That's exactly right. There's a difference between dedicating a house to God and cleansing the existing dedicated house to Jehovah. Absolutely true. Hezekiah did the right thing. I don't know what these guys were doing.
They made a feast.
I don't know who wrote it and what it's all about.
Hezekiah didn't make a feast.
No, he did not. But he cleansed the temple, of course. And he cleansed the altar once it's been made unclean. We do not read the Apocrypha. We do not read it. The term Apocrypha is used with various meanings, including hidden, esoteric, spurious, or questionable in scriptural authenticity, of course. Now, here's one of the reasons we do not read the Maccabees. Praying for the dead is belief held by the Catholic Church and the elders. In 2 Maccabees 12:44, for if he had not hoped that they that were slain should rise again, it would have seemed superfluous and vain to pray for the dead. It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins. Really, where is that in the word? And making a gathering, he sent 12,000 drams of silver to Jerusalem for sacrifice to be offered for the sin of the dead. Thinking sins. Well and religiously concerning the resurrection. For if he had not hoped that they that were slain should rise again, it would have seemed superfluous and vain to pray for the dead. And because he considered that they who had fallen asleep with godliness had grace laid up for them. And how can you can't have grace laid up for them? Your righteousness does not lay up grace for the dead, for the evil. It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead that they may be loosed from sins. That is totally non-Torah. That is totally not of the God of Israel. So you know right there that the book of Maccabees is not part of anything written by God. Now, do you think Yeshua or Daniel quoted ever from these books? They never did. Not once. Yeshua quoted from a lot of books. Definitely not from that one. So back to the made-up Hanukkah of today. Questions. What is the Hebrew word for dedication? What was it in the scriptural calendar? Not Pope Gregory's calendar. Now, did Yeshua do a feast that is not scriptural, as some do today? Of course not. So we're going to answer all these questions and more as this study. Please read it slowly. So in other words, Jesus did go to the Feast of Dedication, but not to anything having to do with the Maccabees at all. Now remember these points also. Hanukkah is a Hebrew means dedication pertaining to the temple, not 8 days of oil. There is no temple now. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And who destroyed it? Who had it destroyed? God had it destroyed. According to what he spoke to Solomon in 1 Kings 9 and 2 Chronicles 7, it was destroyed as a punishment from God. So why would we still keep a dedication to it? Unless we think that God is unrighteous that he did it, or that we're sad that it was done. No, it was a righteous thing that it was done, and God did it for a reason. The temple was destroyed around 260 years after the Maccabees, a book we do not recognize as part of Tanakh. Another point, it was the wrong month. It should be Adar, which is February, March. Winter ends March 21st, in Ezra. Of course, the first dedication Hanukkah in Scripture was in the 7th month and 8th month. And of course, that is when Solomon built the temple and originally had it dedicated in the 7th month of God. And the second dedication was in Adar, which is February, March, in Esther 3:7. That tells you when it's Adar. But it tells about the dedication in, of course, Ezra and Nehemiah. And there were no 8 days of oil are found. Even in the second book of Maccabees, if you read it, there's no such thing as 8 days of oil. Oil isn't even mentioned in the story of the Maccabees. That was made up in the Talmud. That's a whole another lie. There's no such thing as 8 days of oil. You can read the book of Maccabees all day and you're not going to find it. No 8 or 9 candlestick menorah in Scripture. There's only 7, and that's very important. It takes away from the original candlestick that God prescribed and gives you another false one. And, of course, they always play this German game, dreidel, which has nothing to do with the Jewish feast. Forget that. Oh, no.
A made-up Jewish feast.
Just a made-up Jewish feast. Now, Hanukkah is a Hebrew word meaning dedication. Hanukkah. That is consecration. It's a dedication to God. And in many cases it occurs, dedicating, through the Bible.
There it is in Greek too.
And in Greek also. In John, of course, the Feast of Dedication. Because there was, at that time, there was a temple standing. In the scriptures above pertaining to Hanukkah or dedication, John was talking about Solomon's temple that Ezra helped to rebuild, of course. And they dedicated in the 12th month of God. Right now, we're in what month of God?
Nine.
That's right, nine, soon to be 10. So it's not even the right time of year whatsoever. This, they're using something made up in the Maccabees, which we don't believe in.
Ezra 6.
Also read the scriptures below in Ezra chapter 6. Now, another thing that's very important if you want to know about God destroying the temple is read through the verses about, and we can do that later, I think that would be a good thing to read through, about when he dedicated the temple. It's a beautiful prayer to God, but then God also warning him what would happen if they do. He said, this house which is very high shall be brought very low. They'll be destroyed. So Ezra 6:14, and the elders of Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it. This is the house of God, according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, our February, March, it's cold, not December, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy, and offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. Now in Esther 3:7, in the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot before Hanan, from day to day, and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. So here we know it is the 12th month. Adar is the 12th month. And that is when Ezra and Nehemiah dedicated the house of God, which they totally had rebuilt after the 70-year captivity. Hanukkah is a Hebrew word meaning dedication to God. The temple built by Solomon, and also at the time of Ezra, the rebuilding of the temple of God, which also was dedicated to God. And that's why it had to be dedicated, because it was totally rebuilt. It was totally destroyed. And that's why also they had to dedicate the altar and everything else, because it was new. And if anything was unclean and still existing, then it was cleansed. So please remember, the first dedication was in the seventh month, of course, with Solomon. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. We know that feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. This is not New Year's, as some falsely report. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered on Jehovah, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Can you imagine? So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of Jehovah. So there we have all the proof in the Bible of everything that we need. This is what you will hear. Went up a little too high again here, sorry about that. This is what you hear from tradition. Tradition's wrong. You know what it is I was thinking this week? Everybody, why does the world love lies and hate truth? They'll go way over, they'll do spend all kinds of energy and money on a lie, but you can't even give away the truth. This is what you hear in tradition. Also, please remember, there is no commandment from God to light candles on this made-up feast or the Holy Shabbat. If you light candles on Shabbat, fine. Just don't say it's a commandment. They have more made-up commandments than they don't keep God's commandments. The other common made-up name for this feast is Hag Ha'oriah, which means the Feast of Lights. It is found in the writings of Josephus, who was a first century Jewish historian, whom I certainly don't trust. The second name, however, is based upon a tradition. Supposedly, when the Jews rededicated the temple and wanted to rekindle the lampstand, they found only enough oil for one day. It would take 8 days to make a new supply, and they decided to kindle and burn the remaining oil. It was a fake miracle occurring, as the oil that was enough for only one day lasted for 8 days, thus the term representing the Feast of Lights. This is why the Hanukkah menorah has 8 candles, which is unscriptural, instead of the 7 the scriptural menorah has. they made 8 candles commemorate this made-up miracle. And it is a made-up miracle.
Because there is no 8 days of oil.
It's all made up by the rabbis. It's totally, it's amazing. Everybody just believes it and never questions it. The made-up feast of today, Hanukkah, in and of itself, is not found anywhere in the scriptures, as it originated during the time of history after the book of Malachi. There were no prophets for many years after the book of Malachi. The law and the prophets were until John. What that means is the book of Malachi is the end. There is no more. Even Yeshua said that. There is no book of Maccabees. The law and the prophets were until John, which is in the book of Malachi. That's it. That's all we have. And he never quoted from it. It doesn't exist. Oh, anyway, the law and the prophets were until John. And that's what it means. That's until the book of Malachi, and that's all we have. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. That proves Yeshua never read the Maccabees. It's not included in the law and the prophets. It's just not. And to try to make it that way is just a lie. It should be remembered that none of the historical books mention this fake miracle. Even the book of Maccabees doesn't even mention the oil, as it originates with the Talmud and the rabbis, and not with the books of the Holy Scriptures. It's all a lie. But people love to do lies. The historical books that speak of the Maccabean revolt as a real event are in the uninspired Catholic 1 and 2 Maccabees, and they make no mention of any miracle of 8 days of oil and all. Do you guys hear this? It just plain doesn't exist. And to try to make it exist so that you can have another made-up feast, it's just a lie. As you can see, it is fact that this made-up feast is recorded in rabbinic writings and not found in the Holy Scriptures. And here, and you can read all this stuff in the Talmud, and I'm going to tell you something. These sages, they go round and round, and it's just like you're reading chaos. They are the most chaotic writers I've ever seen. All they worry about is when they light it, what they light it. If it goes out and requires attention, what do you do? Read through this stuff.
Which way do you light it from?
Which way do you light it from?
Do you light it all at once?
You write it all at once. You start at the first day and not at the last. It's just a bunch of, you guys can read this all, but it's just a bunch of craziness. And a light for each member of the household. On the first day, 8 lights are lit, and thereafter gradually reduce it. Or should you do it the opposite? And they never agree, of course. And it's all just a bunch of mishmash.
And they made up the oil and right there in the Talmud.
Yeah. It is sufficient to place on the table. Another lamp is required for it. Light it. How do you light it? A blazing fire is unnecessary. They talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. Except what they don't talk about is that it doesn't really exist. And then they made up this whole big story for when the Greeks entered the temple, they defiled all the oils and kept, made up this whole lie. So anyway, we're going to go through that. You guys can read that if you want. It's just the, we'll just read the purported tradition from off the web. Around 200 BCE, Jews lived as an anonymous people in the land of Israel, which at this time was controlled by a Seleucid king of Syria. The Jewish people paid taxes to Syria and accepted its legal authority, and by and large were free to follow their own faith, maintain their own jobs, and engage in trade. And by 180 BCE, Antiochus IV Epiphanes ascended to the Seleucid throne. At first little changed, but under his reign, Jews were gradually forced to violate the precepts of their faith, and the Jews rebelled in having to do this. Under the reign of Antiochus IV, the temple in Jerusalem was looted, Jews were massacred, and Judaism was effectually outlawed. And in 167 BCE, Antiochus ordered an altar to Zeus erected in the temple. And Mattathias, a Jewish priest, and his 5 sons, John, Simon, Eleazar, Jonathan, and Judah, led a rebellion against Antiochus.
Antiochus.
Judah became known as Judas Maccabee, Judah the Hammer. Almost said that like New York. Hammer. By 166 BCE, Mattathias had died and Judah took his place as leader. And by 165 BCE, the Jewish revolt against the Seleucid monarchy was successful. the temple is liberated and rededicated. But as we know from Scripture, it didn't need to be rededicated. It just needed to be cleansed. The festival of Hanukkah was instituted by Judah Maccabee and his brothers to celebrate this event, according to these Maccabee books, which we can't follow because, as we said, it also tells you can pray for the sins of the dead. And that righteous people that are dead can give grace to the devil people that are dead. That's not true. After having recovered Jerusalem and the temple, Judah ordained the temple to be cleansed, a new altar to be built in place of the polluted one. Also, they built a new altar and new holy vessels to be made. When the fire had been rekindled anew upon the altar and the lamps of the candlestick lit, the dedication altar was celebrated for 8 days amid sacrifice and songs. A number of historians believe that the reason for the 8-day celebration was that the first Hanukkah was, in effect, a belated celebration, the Festival of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Impossible. You can't change the date of Sukkot. During the wars, the Jews were not able to celebrate Sukkot, so you can't just make up a new date for Sukkot. That also, I don't care what they believe, you can't do that. Sukkot also lasts for 8 days. It was a holiday in which the lighting of lamps played a prominent part during the Second Temple period. Lights were also kindled in the household, and the populating of the Jewish of the festival was therefore, according to Josephus, a festival of lights. Just a bunch of made-up stuff. The rabbis, years later, commemorated this miracle that occurred and decided to make this holiday more special, so they designed a special menorah in which 8 candles plus the 9th, the Shamash candle, were represented instead of the usual 7-candle lampstand in the temple. From that came the concept of the 8 days of Hanukkah, which is actually merely as a copy of the Feast of Tabernacles, which has 8 days. Also, they put this made-up feast at the same time the Gentile children were getting presents, December 25th, pagan Christmas. And all the Jewish children would get presents, and none were left feeling left out. And of course, they only played their little German grader game. And traditions, some good and some bad. Now, there are traditions that are good and bad. Yeshua said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? So why do you do that? Because you can't, first of all, you can't make this, you couldn't have made this the feast of even the Maccabees, saying, well, we'll do a Sukkot at a different time. That's just another lie. Thus have you made the commandment of God non-effect by your tradition. You can't do that. In Mark 7:13, making the word of God non-effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Why do people just like lies? I just don't get it. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you. And that's not a man of God. That's a heathen man. Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, but not after Messiah. Can't do things that are not of God and call them good. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, you're redeemed by the blood of Messiah, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you're redeemed, you're bought with the precious blood of Messiah as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. In other words, we saw him. He showed up just like he was supposed to, according to scriptures. The Jews' religion, doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Matthew 16, verse 6. Yeshua said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they now how that he had made them not beware of the leaven of bread, but beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Luke 12:1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In other words, you say what God says, but you don't do it. You say, but you don't do. Galatians 1:13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the Church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion, he means in their traditions, above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood. Now, good traditions, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. In other words, traditions of the word. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. That means the tradition of the word. Now remember, 'tis the season to be pagan is here. Beware of the false images of love, the false feelings and emotions that run around. These pagan feasts bring on loneliness, depression, and suicide, and oh yes, death for years to come. Some pagan religions are having classes at their facilities to address these false issues. Please do not follow any made-up traditions, feasts, or events. And Shabbat Shalom.
There's, underneath this...
Hold on a second.
There's another important point.
I have to go back to that. Can you say it?